From the Acting Director, Department of Health and Human Services, requesting authorization to enter into 2012 Delinquency and Court Services Division Purchase of Service Contracts with community agencies for a variety of delinquency and court services programs.
All right. I sound like a bit of a broken record, so not get into the youth aids discussion again. This is where we are, let me characterize it as making some initial short-term actions based upon the revenue reductions. What you'll note is that we are not looking this year to enter into contract with Pathfinders for our sex offender treatment program. That is one area where we're looking to convert that to a fee-for-service arrangement. There are other providers out there that provide similar like services that also serve our wraparound program, and that is one area that we are looking to only do a one-month contract in order to have a transition period, and then we'll move to a fee-for-service arrangement with other providers and if Pathfinders chooses to go down that path. This is also the area where we are making a recommendation to reduce our group homes from 4 to 3 with no change in the total dollar amount. Again, that is based upon our analysis of capacity usage over the past 2 years. And at this point, we think we're comfortable only going with 3 group homes to serve males. If in the event that we have a day when we have to exceed that amount, we would buy that sort of on the open market, if you will, through a fee-for-service arrangement. We already do that now with girls because of the number of kids we serve. It just makes good fiscal sense. And secondly, the other thing that has changed since last year in this regard is that Department of Children and Families, through regulation, has done some rate regulation work in this area, and there is now a capitated rate for all group homes in the rate-based world. And so providers cannot exceed that amount, and I don't have it off the top of my head exactly what that amount is. But so there is a limit sort of to our exposure if we had to go out sort of in the market and buy it on a rate basis. The other area of change for this year, I'm trying to summarize it here. The contracts that we're looking to do, 6-month contracts, are for all of the contracts in front of you, excluding 2 service areas, that being shelter care and that being group home care. It just doesn't make sense in my mind for 24/7 care, a residential-type program, that we would only go out 6 months, just based upon how long the kids are there. There are just some programs where we have a little more flexibility in terms of making changes. Residential care is not one of those areas. And lastly, we are looking to change providers in the area of our first offender youth program. We are looking to only enter into a one-month contract with New Concepts, who's a current provider, and transfer that contract over a 5-month transition period. It wouldn't be a 1-month contract with New Concepts. It would be a 5-month agreement to continue services until we effectuate a transfer over to Social Development Commission. Social Development Commission ranked the highest in this application, and in reviewing it and taking into context other issues going on in juvenile justice, that being there's a lot more discussion these days about efficiencies and also the children's court connection with the municipal court, that being City of Milwaukee. And Social Development Commission, we've had a relationship in the past on a fee-for-service basis through some grant-funded programs, and they serve just about under 800 youth a year from the municipal courts. And one of the things we hope to accomplish by moving towards them for the first offender program is to sort of bridge that gap between the children's court operation and municipal court. For example, youth that are on probation and receive municipal citations, there really is not any good conversation going on there in terms of, you know, how to best deliver services and, frankly, serve those kids sort of under one roof. It's my opinion that moving forward, although it's not going to happen immediately, that this could very likely lend itself to further collaborations down the road with the municipal court. And so that is basically our basis for, one of our bases for also making the change. That said, I think that fairly summarizes the changes. If you have any questions.
Supervisor Rice? Just a question. I wonder if you could tell me about the group home service delivery. We've got three contracts with three vendors for 8 beds each. Does it ever make any sense to, you know, look at are there any efficiencies or economies of scale that might be achieved from consolidating these under one vendor? Yeah, there's probably good reasons why you issue the RFPs for 8 beds apiece, but
well, what's running through my head is, one, is there an agency that holds more than one license? Because they are only licensed as 8 bed group homes. Mm-hmm. The short answer is yes. I mean, I think any time that you have one agency, obviously there's an overhead cost and director type cost that kind of get absorbed. My experience with the group homes too is that every group home kind of has its own thing or theme. Some are more concentrated in AODA. Some may have more high-risk kids. One of the things that I didn't mention that we are looking to accomplish is we're looking to do a better job in 2012 of assessing youth's risk, meaning are they low risk or high risk. One of the things that I'm not very comfortable with right now is I don't think we do a good job of doing at least taking some attempt to separate those kids in terms of not congregating them in one spot. It's safe to say kids that end up in group home from juvenile justice fall in two buckets. One, either they're high risk and the court's just not comfortable with them going home, or two, they just have a situation at home primarily based upon either potential allegations of abuse or neglect, which really in my mind is like a child welfare youth. And to the extent possible, what we'd like to see happen moving forward is that somehow we separate those youth, meaning, for example, the Bureau of Child Welfare and Wraparound have a whole network of providers which often take the child welfare youth. And over time, I think as a best practice, it makes sense to try to use those homes for our low-risk kids and then concentrate more on our high-risk kids. As much as I don't want to congregate youth, I mean, there's only so much you can do, that may be one of the outcomes moving down the road. It's kind of a long way of answering your question. Does it make sense to have one agency under one roof? That might make sense at some point in time to try to address that issue of really figuring out which homes are best suited for which kids.
Yeah, so, could you just expand a little bit? You say you're going to do some expanded risk assessment. How will you do that? What's the process?
There are basically
what prompts the question is when we have the discussion on universal
screening. I was just going
to
say.
Yeah, the judges tell us that they won't be able to do that for the juvenile population.
Not with the tool they're developing.
Right.
But the concept is almost exactly the same. It's assessing one's risk and their needs level based upon an actuarial validated assessment tool. And we're actively looking at one right now and hope to put the pieces in place that we'd be able to start implementing that in 2012. Let me say that we already have a tool. Back in the 90s, we used a risk and needs tool that we started when we had some work with the NEKC Foundation. Those tools, though, back in the day were first and second generation tools, and the data that's been collected and the refinement and the validation is basically that many years improved. So there are a lot better tools. They're web-based, they're electronic, the data is collected automatically. There are a lot more, you know, reports that can be run in terms of analyzing that information, and that's one area that we hope to improve and build capacity in that area. So that's how we would achieve better risk assessment.
Thank you.
Supervisor Jerzyk?
Thank you. I have two areas of questioning. First of all, the home care for the boys. Girls, I do note that you've got a note here under the shelter care boys St. Charles that there's a 50,000 increase due to staffing needs of separating male and female facilities. Could you expand on that a little bit? And is that related to the home care issue?
It's not related to the home care, the group home care issue. We contract with two agencies, in two separate facilities on county grounds to provide licensed shelter care services. And given how the census flows between the male and female populations, it forces staff to be in one facility versus the other facility. And we typically see less females, meaning that the male side of the operation has more youth, meaning they need more staff. So after reviewing, you know, their costs, we made a decision that it made sense that given that there is a increased capacity on the male side, that in order to support the staffing levels that are necessary to meet licensure requirements, that we needed to move some money there.
I should read into this that we at one time had male and female facilities together.
Well, they're never together. They've always been separate facilities, but they were under one agency.
The supervision staff that
right.
caused the increase.
Yeah.
And then I want to know a little bit more about your comments regarding the municipal court. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Sure.
Municipal court, and just to tell you where I'm going with this, municipal court is generally city issues.
Correct.
Children's court usually arises out of district attorney county issues. So I want to hear more about what we're doing there.
There is a lot of discussion or chatter, if you will, you know, among the juvenile justice circle that, for example, if we have a youth on probation, how do we know if they receive a municipal citation? And we find out about it now more from happenstance. It kind of depends upon who the worker is, but there is no formal process in place to sort of make that connection. Also, there are a number of youth that, before they come to us, will have municipal citations. So the idea there is that the more that we can start connecting with, in this case, SDC, which again serves a fair amount of youth out of municipal court, that we will start identifying some opportunities where if there's particular youth that have sort of chronic municipal citations, is there and does it make sense that somehow our services through the delinquency division would somehow be involved, either directly or perhaps the resources? There would be nothing that would be a barrier. For example, if municipal court was having a difficult with a young person and the police were responding, issuing citations, that perhaps we couldn't offer. For example, I don't want to go out on a limb and say for sure right now, but offer them some of the first offender type tracking services, more as a prevention. I mean, the sooner that we can get involved and perhaps start providing services before they come to the Children's Court Center, I think we'd all be far better off. So it's trying to make that connection down the road that I think makes a lot of sense. What happens now, for example, when a youth is referred to us, the youth get referred to us, then they go to the DA's, district attorney's office, to decide on filing a petition. But there are times where we don't know that the youth has been arrested, for example, for battery for four times and just received a citation. Figuring out a way to start sharing that information, I think, one, sheds a lot more light onto some of the issues the youth may have, and also I think we'll, create an opportunity where we might get to a point where we somehow figure out, I really don't have the full-fledged plan here, but that we would be able to involve ourselves either through resources or staff or just maybe information sharing to start bridging some of those gaps. So we don't have youth trying to be serviced over here through community service, and they're being referred to us, and the right hand's not talking to the left hand.
And in doing this, are you providing that service across 19 municipalities?
As of right now, no.
How many municipalities are you doing?
We're just targeting City of Milwaukee because that is where approximately 80% of our population comes from.
And I know there is some discussion to perhaps do more municipal citation to avoid having a juvenile start to build a record. And I understand that, but we are now crossing jurisdictions. And I think there should be agreements and there should be a look at funding. So I think this is something that you do need to bring to the board.
Sure. For any time that we've done that, either it's Racine, we've done information sharing agreements with the state. We always, you know, put an intergovernment agreement in place and try to work those issues out. So, again, I don't want to lead someone astray. One of the reasons that we're looking at is to develop that knowledge to figure out what opportunities might exist. We're not necessarily suggesting at this point in time that we're going to, you know, just jump right in there and do it, obviously. So.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who has a comment or question?
Move approval.
All right. We do have a motion for approval. Madam Clerk.
The question with Pathfinders, because that's a special population that they've been dealing with. Are they going to be still, you made a comment about they still will have opportunity to do fee for service. Have you discussed how that would work, or is this just early in the stages?
No, we've had conversations with them. One of the things they've asked is if they want, they have to make a decision if they want to go down that path. So we've agreed to provide them with, you know, all the kids. All the sexual assault offenses that come in, we know experts aren't charged. How many go to fee-for-service route versus them currently, so that they can make a business plan decision whether or not it makes sense for them to stay in the business. Okay. And so, yeah, those conversations are going on.
Very good. Anything else? Madam Clerk, on the motion.
Biddle.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Jersey.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
Seven ayes, zero noes. The motion is approved.